All right, next case, Elder v. Astru, Mr. Schull.
If it may please the court, I represent the plaintiff appellant in this Social Security disability case. We're claiming that the administrative law judge in this case improperly evaluated the credibility of the claimant's subjective symptom testimony and improperly evaluated the opinions of two of the treating doctors, Dr. Koh, a rheumatologist, and Dr. Hannes, her treating a family doctor. The credibility determination was an error, first for two reasons things that the ALJ did not consider. One piece of evidence was the results of an MMPI test performed by the consultative psychologist, Dr. Kenneth Boonza, who was requested at the request of the judge and through the administration, was requested to evaluate this person psychologically and specifically to administer the MMPI test. One of the results of the MMPI test, according to Dr. Boonza, was that this individual had the clinical presentation of an individual with a chronic debilitating physical condition, chronic pain, and so on, that this presentation was similar to that. The judge did not address this evidence, and this is very important evidence in this case because, that's the very core of the issue, whether she is presenting and what she is doing is credible. The commissioner responded to this argument and I didn't disagree that the judge didn't cover it, but the commissioner argued that Dr. Boonza found only moderate psychological limitations and did not give any opinions on the physical limitations themselves. However, and both of those things are correct. However, evidence, the results of the MMPI are very important because this is testing this is kind of like the gold standard for psychologists. And psychologists need to differentiate people who have just medical conditions and people who have psychological conditions, what the level of those conditions are and what is causing what. And this evidence demonstrates that this was an individual that was suffering from a debilitating condition. The commissioner and the judge are arguing that fibromyalgia most of the time is not a debilitating condition, and that is true. That's what the court has said. That's what the medical evidence, that's what the medical journals say. But this particular piece of evidence takes it out of that group and says this is...
How tall is she? I do not understand. In case after case, a party points to the obesity of someone, never gives the height. As if it didn't make any difference to your weight what your height was. I don't understand that.
Yes, Judge. I don't remember right now what her height is. But in this case, we did not argue the obesity issue, Judge. The second thing that the ALJ left out was that in this case there was evidence that her mental condition affected her physical condition and made her symptoms and functioning worse, and this was based upon the testing of Dr. Boonza. Dr. Boonza indicates that the MMPI test showed that there was an almost inextricable link between her mental and physical condition. her family doctor, who did refer to and obviously did see the MMPI results of Dr. Bunza, he said that her depression, her mental condition, made her functioning and her symptoms of pain worse. And so in this case, we have a combination of her physical and mental condition. The judge did not take this into consideration. Now, the commissioner argued that, well, in the Sims case, this court held that...
I don't understand what you said about you didn't argue obesity. I don't understand. You don't think obesity is important?
Well, I think it's important, but yes, it is important. This woman weighs over 300 pounds.
That's why I'd like to know how tall she is.
Judge, I don't have that at my fingertips right at this point.
You don't seem to think it matters.
I'm sorry?
You don't seem to think it matters.
Well, I think it matters, but I didn't argue it, Judge. I mean, we didn't argue it in the district court.
Why?
We just missed that argument, I guess that's...
You know, if she's short, 307 pounds, that's enormous. That would obviously extremely limit a person's... Also, did the ALJ find that she's capable of light work?
Judge in this case the judge found that she was capable of light work, that's lifting and carrying 20 pounds occasionally, 10 pounds frequently, with the additional limitation of needing to alternate sitting and standing.
Light work is not sedentary work. Light work is heavy for people like us.
That's true, Judge.
So obviously, unless she's very tall, you know, weighing 307 pounds is going to make it very difficult, I would think, to do light work. I don't understand why it doesn't play a large role. We have opinions in which we've emphasized, you know, it doesn't matter whether the obesity, not disabling per se, but the obesity aggravates and interacts with other problems people have and may make them, you know, capable of light work. I suppose anyone can do sedentary work, but light work? Okay. I mean, the fibromyalgia and these mental things are so vague, right? The obesity is something concrete.
Well, that's true, Judge. But in this case, I mean, there is evidence from the result of the... I mean,
the problem with these doctors' diagnoses of fibromyalgia, they have the points, you know, and that's fine, but they also base their diagnosis very heavily on what the patient tells them. So if the patient is angling for benefits of some sort and exaggerates her symptoms, the doctors can't do anything with that. So they that then influences their reports.
Well, in this case,
it seems very ambivalent, you know.
Well, in this case, Dr. Hannes did have the MMPI report indicating that this person's profile, that the objective evidence indicated that they are suffering from a, you know, physically
built. I think the MMPI is very objective.
Well,
right. That's just a what? That's just asking people questions.
That's correct, but as far as psychological and mental condition,
the psychology and the fibromyalgia is so mushy, And the obesity, depending on how tall she is very significant, I would think, for light work. I don't know about the... But anyway, you haven't pursued that, so I'll leave you alone.
Mr. Shull, we're reviewing the decision of the ALJ had made on 2004, right? Not the 2002?
That's correct, Judge, because the prior one was Appeals Council sent that back to be redone.
Do we have the full record of that 2004 decision by the ALJ?
Judge, yes, it's in the separate appendix. It's the very first document.
It's the entire document?
Yeah, pages 1 through 13. And then the Appeals Council order is on pages 14 through, looks like, 17.
So none of the ALJ's decisions missing from that?
No, both ALJ decisions are...
No, I mean the 2004 decision is complete.
Yes, that's at pages 18 through 34 of the the separate index.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Shull. Mr. Goldstein?
May it please
Mr. Goldstein, do you agree with that statement of the ALJ's decision is completely presented?
I was just checking to see if I brought it with me. I didn't bring it with me, but so I don't know that there's any pages missing. I usually refer to the transcript, just in the transcript that I work with, so I don't work with that copy, so I can't verify that there's any pages, whether there's any pages missing. I believe it says page 1 of 2, 2 of 2, 3 of, so it tells you how many pages there should be. In it. 5 feet, 8 inches, Your Honor. And it was not a, wasn't really a light work. There's a big difference in this case from light work and what the ALJ actually found. The ALJ gave her the option to sit or stand at will. That means she could sit the whole time. Light work requires the ability to stand for 6 hours or be on your feet for 6 hours.
She had to be able to lift things.
That's what brings it out of sedentary work, yes, Your Honor.
Right.
Yes, but if she had to lift
you
up.
You can't lift things while you're sitting. I mean, right? I mean, you might.
Well, so it must be the.
It must be standing part of the time.
She had. The ALJ asked the vocational expert to assume that she could sit at will.
So part of the time she's standing carrying 20 pounds, another time she's sitting there.
She's sitting at will, Your Honor. Not my understanding. If you can sit at will, it means I can sit whenever I want. And if I have to stand to perform my job at certain times, then...
What is the 20 pounds figure in then?
She can occasionally lift up to 20 pounds.
It's extremely difficult to lift things when you're sitting. I don't know what kind of job the vocational expert was thinking
of. Well, he was thinking of a maid, a cashier, and...
A maid?
Yeah.
That's a strenuous job.
No, according to the vocational expert.
I should think she'd have tremendous difficulty being. If you're a maid, you have to move furniture. You have to be standing and walking all the time. Maids can't sit down.
But the jobs were not the challenge, Your Honor. The particular jobs that the vocational expert identified were not. Are not at issue.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, and here there was a 34-year-old woman who claims that she was disabled due to fibromyalgia. As the court has recognized, fibromyalgia usually is not disabling. There's nothing that brings this case out of that.
Do you happen to know how tall she is?
That's what my first comment was, Your Honor. Five feet.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Five feet, 8 inches.
5'8".
Yes.
So she's quite tall.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Four doctors opined that she could work. Only one opined that she couldn't. Dr. Koh is a rheumatologist. She was her treating physician for a year. he said that at the end, he said she could perform alternative work at a reduced capacity from the work that she was performing, medium level work. She was lifting 25. She said at her past work she was lifting 25 pounds frequently. That's a medium level of work. Dr. Koh repeatedly urged her to get a functional capacity evaluation, vocational retraining, pursue alternative work, and she never did any of that. He discharged her in his, I believe, his final. He ultimately discharged her. At one point, he said she is, quote, still looking for a work excuse, and I'm wondering if there are any secondary issues, close quote. He thought that she could perform other work when he discharged her after a year of care. When Dr. Haynes treated her for the following 5 years or 6 years in the record, until the record closed, he never referred her, although he said that this was a horrible case of fibromyalgia, according to him, but he's a family doctor, and he's never thought it was so horrible to refer her to another rheumatologist for expert treatment. She also had a wide range of activities which were pivotal in the ALJ's decision. Mm-hmm. She walked a mile to a mile and a half every day. She exercised three times a day on a stair-step machine. She did most of the housework, most of the shopping, she said she spent most of her time caring for her two children, ages, I believe, 5 and 11 at the time of the ALJ's hearing. And her mother said that two nights a week she went out to watch them at their sporting events. So the ALJ could reasonably rely and did reasonably rely on those activities.
Is she married? Is she married?
Yes. I'm pretty sure she's, yes, sir. She wasn't as limited as Dr. Koh's records indicated, but when there's contemporaneous notes of a claimant's activities or her statements contemporaneously recorded by the physician versus her retrospective testimony, the court has said that in Brewer that the ALJ could reasonably rely on those on the contemporaneous report over the retrospective testimony. Regarding the MMPI, I think what the court was getting at is that the MMPI really is a screening instrument, and I believe that's how it's typically used. It's not an ultimate diagnostic tool. What the ALJ did was he specifically took the Dr. Bunz's limitation. He only had one limitation, a moderate limitation for responding to work pressure, and incorporated that into the residual functional capacity finding when he limited her for no work with closely regimented pace or production. So although the MMPI may have suggested that this is a typical profile for people with profile for people experiencing chronic debilitating conditions, chronic pain, etc., but the Dr. Bunza went and said she could perform work except with one moderate limitation, and that's what the ALJ found, and that was a reasonable conclusion for the ALJ to make. Unless there's any further questions, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Goldstein. So, Mr. Shell, your time had expired. Were you asked to? Are you representing pro bono?
No, Judge.
Right. Okay. Okay, well, thank you very much.